It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again, and we're into the Christmas season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and gatherings. And communication skills will be needed at this time of year for those gatherings. So you wanted to do kind of a refresher course on some of your ideas about communication.
That's right. I was talking to a person the other day who had gone to my website. I want to punch that website a couple times today. If you haven't gone to that and read some of the articles, I want to encourage you to do that. And I'll tell you, this person, a man, went to that website and read.
What's the website?
The website is ChristianCounselorsForum.com, okay. And I'll tell you how to get to that in a second. So he went and read the article on communication and really got out a lot out of it. That's always pleasing to hear mm-hmm. when people go to read the articles and learn valuable, useful things. So this is ChristianCounselorsForum.com. It's another of my websites, and I have some articles there.
A lot of articles, right?
A lot of articles. Mm-hmm. These things go back, I think the first article posted is 2020, so okay. almost a quarter of a century of articles. I've written a lot more things. Everything I write doesn't get posted, but I've written some things there and posted some things there. I think there might be about 30 articles or something like that. Okay. At the bottom, if you go to that, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and you on the side panel, you'll see a link to archives, and you need to go to the archives because when you go to the archives page, go down to the very bottom, and there's a two-part article. I think to read the two parts will probably take you about a half an hour. If you're a fast reader, you can read it faster. But I think it'd probably take about a half an hour to read the two parts. Now, the man that I talked to spent an hour, which he actually took notes on the article, and as I say, he got a lot out of it, and that was encouraging to me. And so when we talk about communication today, I'm going to be kind of hitting the tops, and there's a lot more detail information and some testimonial things and situational examples at the website on that article. So it's ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And you want to hit the archives link and go to the bottom of the archives page, and you'll find a two-part article on communication.
Okay.
And so that you can read those there. So obviously, I'm talking to an audience of people who some of you communicate probably fairly well, and some of you are kind of like in the mid-range. And then there are people who just don't communicate at all. So I want to kind of talk about, just make a comment to the beginning about people who don't communicate at all. And this is just, let's be honest, stubbornness at some level.
Who doesn't communicate at all?
So,
I mean, what do you mean by that? You mean somebody who just is single and doesn't ever venture out of the house, or what do you mean?
A relationship, let's say, where okay. people say, I can't communicate with that particular person.
Oh, I see. Just where communication is broken.
I mean, everybody communicates pretty much with somebody, but right. we're talking about communication or situations where, and there may be these situations in Christmas season where families are gathering together, and maybe there's been a falling out of in relationships, and so, you know, we're attending a gathering, but we're going to be rubbing shoulders with people that we've, we're having difficulty with. Mm-hmm. And so I've met people who in a certain relationship where marriage relationship, for example, but siblings as well, and they'll say, I just can't communicate with that person, or we can't communicate together. And what that often means is I can't get my way. Mm. I can't make that other person see things my way. Mm-hmm. So to start off, I know that most of the people I'm talking to, hopefully, our communication is a little better than that. But I wanted to address that first of all. we can communicate, we can at least exchange data. But of course, what we would like to have in closer relationships, particularly marriage relationships, but close relationships is more than just exchange of data. We would like to have communion, like the sense of union and agreement, like at different levels. Mm-hmm. So, we can't communicate at all. Typically, to some degree, means we're really saying I can't get my way. Can't get the person to agree with my way. But communication in general, in these difficult relationships, if we're going to choose to communicate, it's going to require humility and trust. That's kind of a chicken and the egg thing, isn't it?
Right.
You know, do I have to be vulnerable before I trust, or do I have to trust before I can be vulnerable? But if I don't trust the person, should I not be vulnerable? Mm-hmm. But if I'm not vulnerable, I won't. So it's, you know, which comes first? Do I have to be vulnerable before I can trust, or do I have to trust before I can become vulnerable? It's sort of like more of a left foot, right foot. It's these things kind of happen together in degrees. Mm-hmm. And and our communication is in degrees. And so we're talking about during the Christmas season, we're going to be in one of these difficult situations, and we just want to take some steps in the right direction. We don't want to be unrealistic and think that someone that we don't get along with suddenly, because it's Christmas, we're just going to agree on everything. But let's take some steps in that direction.
Okay.
So the whole thing of humility and trust is, it's a left foot, right foot. It's not a chicken and the egg. It's not all of one and then the other. We do this in degrees.
Okay.
Some relationships we can trust more. We feel we can be more vulnerable. We have to stretch a little bit.
It's interesting that people you know better are the ones that are harder to communicate sometimes with. So when you're like communicating with strangers, sometimes you can just say anything because you don't really care what they think
about
you.
There's no skin in the game.
No skin in the game.
That's right. It's a little more superficial. Mm-hmm. And so there's a distance. You know, there's a safe distance. We can – but you're right. Family members, people that know you, people that you know, there's more to it. And so a lot of times you stay away from the communication with those people because it goes deep pretty quickly. Mm. No, there are so many, we could go down so many.
Well, I was just even thinking in our society now, the whole thing of the way people communicate online and social media and mm-hmm. things. And we were just bemoaning the fact we were watching some relatives we know kind of hash out their dirty laundry on Facebook, mm-hmm. talking back and forth and, you know, calling people out for, and I was thinking, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, what's that about? I mean, that's a whole nother level of dysfunction, where you're kind of airing your dirty laundry in public.
And you don't have to be accountable. Well, you do at a level, but you can simply log off if you don't like what the person is saying, and then you can unfriend them or unfollow them, or just not respond to them.
Right.
And so there's a distance too. And the problem with real relationships in the real world, or I say the problem, but also the blessing, it's the other side of the same coin, but is that you have to stay you have to kind of stay in the game. And say, for example, on a Christmas gathering, you don't want to stomp out the door. You want to at least part friends. And so, you know, you're going to be there for a while, you need to kind of stretch a bit. So how do we, this left foot, right foot thing I was talking about, humility or vulnerability and trust. The launching pad for these things is humility and honesty if we're going to communicate. And we can also we're not just limiting this to the Christmas gathering, but let's say I'm talking to a married couple who struggle with communication, or siblings that struggle with communication. And I've met in my practice, I've met siblings that are in their 50s and 60s that haven't gotten along for decades, and they're wanting to kind of build bridges finally. And the vulnerability and the trust issue. So we have to start with humility and honesty. anytime we struggle with communication in a relationship. You know, we've heard the term moving the goalposts. So a lot of times our person might want to open up a communication with a spouse or a sibling or a Christian brother or sister that you've had a falling out with or that you're just trying to get to know, and you kind of set a bar in a sense. You put something out there, a comment or something, and you get a response that you know you might feel is offensive or something. But I think that the thing of honesty begins with, at any level, why am I really saying what I'm about to say? What is my expectation? I have a lot of times in communication where someone will have an expectation of the person that they're talking to, a performance expectation or an attitude expectation. You know, I'm putting a conversation out there and I'm expecting the person to maybe agree with me. Maybe I don't realize that, but if the person disagrees with me or has another opinion or doesn't understand, and then I get upset. So the first thing I need to do is be honest with myself about what is my expectation of this other person's response. Mm-hmm. And really humility, honesty and humility then. And something's required too before honesty or within that domain of honesty and humility, and that is some kind of a transcendent purpose. And here's where Christians, I think, always have the inside track, because there's an objective that transcends the relationship. It's not just about communicating or exchanging data or having unity on an issue or a topic, something like that. Or mutual appreciation, words of mutual appreciation and affirmation. It's the higher purpose is to is our unity in Christ and our relationship in the Lord and coming together in accordance to the purpose and the will of God, the ministry of the body.
Well, that works with Christian brothers and sisters, but what about people who aren't Christians?
Well, people that aren't Christians still have to have.
You have a relationship, but the other person is not a Christian.
Right. But so humility and honesty still require a higher purpose. So people can say, you know, even non-Christians could say, for the sake of this Christian or this Christmas gathering, let's get along or mm-hmm. let's. So there would be a higher purpose, something that transcends the immediate relationship. People can be at odds and maybe not, this is not my favorite person to get along with. You know, I see when we have family gatherings at Christmas, not every combination matches up. So you're visiting family members and the wives might get along but the husbands don't, or the husbands might get along but the wives don't. And so there's always kind of a mix of there has to be some, let's get along because of this. And so with Christians have the inside track because there is a purpose for our loving one another. And, whosoever dwells in love dwells in God, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So we have that. When we come back, I want to talk about, so let's say we've considered this, and now we're kind of like, we're on a level playing field. I think I'm pretty honest with my motivations, and I think I'm pretty open-minded, and I really do want to have a trust relationship and vulnerability, and those are by degrees, right? You know, so I have a son-in-law or a brother-in-law, and this isn't requiring deep trust and deep vulnerability, but it always, you know, to communicate and exchange ideas and be open to the other person's idea and open to change always requires some trust and some vulnerability. That's really the basis of it, of communication. So when we come back, I want to talk about what we're actually doing. So we'll start to get into some of the tools and talk about those. And I want to remind people that a fuller discussion of this that would be really beneficial is at the website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and you would look and go to ChristianCounselorsForum.com, look in the sidebar, hit archives, go to the bottom of the archives page. That'll be a good two-part article on just what we're talking about today.
Okay, and if people are intrigued by your approach to some of these subjects and they want to find out about your counseling services, how do they do that?
And yeah, that number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, BibleBasedCounselor.com offices, Kirkland and Edmonds. Also, a lot of virtual Zoom counseling.
Okay, back with more Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is talking about communication, how to do that maybe this Christmas season, New Year's season, lots of family gatherings, and this was brought on by somebody reading one of your articles on this subject on your website, mm-hmm. ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Mm-hmm. You can find that longer article there. And now getting into some practical tools of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com is a two-part article. The first part is we covered somewhat during our first part of the program here. We couldn't hit everything, so do go to that website if you're interested, and you'll find that article very informative. The second half of that article, or the second, it's a two-part article, so the second part is basically on the tools of communication. So I want to step back just a minute and talk about what communication is. This would be in the first part of the article, if you go to the article. And that would be that communication is basically coding and decoding. So, you know, we're on the right track. You know, I've done some self-analysis. I know I'm going to be in the presence of someone, let's say, for example, that I don't particularly get along with, but I'm going to put my best foot forward I'm being honest with myself. I see that I have faults too, and I'm going to be humble. And I'm just going to do my best to make this work. So communication is really just coding and decoding. So I want to say that everything you say, from pass the salt to why did you run through the garage door with the, you know,
with the car,
with the van,
with
yeah,
the van.
Or whatever. Everything you say can be said in such a way that it invites the other person to be vulnerable, which we said vulnerability is the foundation of communication. And so everything I say can be said in such a way that it invites vulnerability, or that it warns the other person to put on their defense mechanisms because I'm going to attack you. So that's everything. And so when we're coding, we're using tools to code. We're also decoding. So if someone is saying something to me, and let's say they haven't coded the message very well, and then we'll explain that in a second, but let's say they haven't coded the message very well, I still have the responsibility of decoding the message. So if I'm coding, if I'm sending a sentence, sending a statement, asking a question, if I'm communicating, if I'm speaking, I'm coding my message, and my responsibility is to code the message, the statement, the question, in such a way that it can't be misunderstood. There's a little bit of a problem there because I can't reach inside the person's brain and flip switches so that my coding is not misunderstood. But my responsibility is to code it in such a way that it can't be misunderstood. If I'm receiving the message, if I'm the listener, my responsibility is to decode the message in such a way that I have not misunderstood. That is, I don't want to respond I don't want to take offense when no offense was intended. And even if the person codes the message in such a way that it sounds offensive, I don't have to respond to that. I want to decode the message such that I have not misunderstood it. So let's talk about the tools we use to code. First of all, before I start the coding or the decoding, and I enter it in this conversation, I want to do some self-analysis. And let's just do that really quickly. Again, in the article, I go a little bit into depth about this. But self-analysis, just asking myself, why am I saying what I'm going? Why am I saying this? What's my true motivation? Mm. Or when I listen to the person speak to me, what is my true attitude? So I'm analyzing this and seeing, you know, I want to be fair and I want to be humble and I want to be honest with myself. So based on what my attitude is, what should be my reasonable expectation? Am I saying this, making this statement just to get a rise out of the person, or am I saying this? Is this a rhetorical question? Am I just asking this to cause trouble, or do I really want information? Am I really interested in this? And let's say that I do this self-analysis quickly, and I say, because it could take a fraction of a second, and I say, no, I really do want to engage and learn and communicate with this person. So the first tool is timing. Is this the right time to bring this up or to say this or to make this statement or to ask this question? Is this the right time? It's no good engaging in a conversation. Let's say someone we're talking somewhat about the Christmas gatherings, but these things obviously apply to all conversation situations. But let's say we're at a Christmas gathering and somebody is got their hands full with responsibilities, cooking or something, and I start to engage in a conversation and it's bad timing, and so the person is short with me or abrupt. Maybe they say, I don't have time to talk right now. Well, I thought it was bad timing, and so I have to kind of own up to that. Let's start have our conversations and our exchanges at appropriate times. The next tool is what are the best words to use? And obviously, as you can kind of read between the lines here and say that and realize that if it's a difficult relationship, I have to be more careful with the words. If it's a relationship that I already get along with this person, and then a lot of what we're talking about here today probably is moot. Mm. But if it's a difficult relationship, and this is a person that I have trouble talking to, or this is a conversation that we have difficulty getting through, I want to be very careful about the words that I use. And I think in general, men are a little worse at that than women. Maybe not, but women tend to be more verbal. They're more fluid, say, in their communication. So, you know, they have that rap that men can't talk about feelings and women find it easier. So I want to be careful about the words. I want to avoid things that are accusatory, that seem like an attack. I want to avoid rhetorical questions that can be offensive. So I want to avoid those. The second thing would be the tone of voice. Because obviously you can say just about anything with the wrong tone of voice, and it can be very offensive. So I want to watch my tone of voice. So we got timing, we got words, we got tone of voice. Also very important is my body language. And again, these are more important when we're having a difficult conversation. Maybe you get into a conversation without being too careful. You can find yourself in a conversation, one of the two topics that we never talk about, religion and politics. Right. But maybe you find yourself in that. I want to bring up the virgin birth, for example, with my son-in-law and daughter, which I don't know that they want to talk about that, but I'm gonna push for it this year. So, but I'm gonna have to watch my body language because if my body language, regardless of my words and my tone of voice, if my body language is aggressive, they're gonna defend themselves, and that is bad coding. I'm not going to be able to get through to them. And then finally, after body language, I always use facial expression as a kind of body language too. But for some people, it's difficult. If you lead with a smile, I think a lot of times your emotions will follow, and that'll set the tone. So just to review those, a little bit of self-analysis first, timing, words, tone of voice, body language, facial expression, and again, there's a good article, two-part article, written by moi, yours truly, at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. You go to that website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. You go over in the sidebar and hit the archives, which is where it's at, and it's down at the bottom of the page in the archives, a two-part article. Probably take you a half an hour to read. You can contemplate it, study it, and take a lot longer. There's an awful lot there, and I've heard it's a good article, okay, worth reading.
That's what spurred this conversation this week. Somebody read that article and wanted to talk to you about it in their counseling session. Speaking of counseling, you're also the Bible-based counselor. How do people find out more about those services?
The phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, people email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will also find many years of radio podcasts. Also, offices Kirkland and Edmonds, and also a lot of Zoom counseling, as people find that now to be very convenient.
Remote counseling on the internet, that's a good way to go as well. Always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.